You're listening to Mix Comic Podcast.
Your host, Mick.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Mick. Today is January 3rd, 2015, a year that I've looked forward to my entire life that I can remember, and I've never really thought past it, so I'm not sure what to even expect in 2016. And of course, I cover the main Superman books that I read once a month, and today's show is about Superman number 36. And I'm going to be talking about some of the novelty comic covers later in the show. Those are going to be coming out later this year. They're pretty cool. They're depicting famous movie posters, but with the, you know, current day superheroes. And also, we'll have an announcement on another one of our podcasts at the end of this show. And I say keep saying we because I've asked a friend to join me for this one. A gentleman who you may know if you've listened to the We're Live Fancast. He's my good buddy Redbeard. Hey, Redbeard, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. It's good to have you, and I'm glad that you just decided to come on now, especially since you're talking about doing some of the DC Essential graphic novels with me.
Yes. It's been fun so far. It's not my norm.
Right. And I've shared a little bit on the show of how I'm not really a comics expert and how I'll be doing a show kind of about me and my story and, you know, my comic background in the coming months. But do you want to go ahead and talk about any of your comic background? You probably, I don't think you've read much, if anything, ever.
Yeah, sure. Growing up, I loved the Spawn series.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only one I got really crazy about, and I loved it. I mean, it's just, it was there for me. But I had dabbled with Silver Surfer, Ghost Rider, and a few others, but most of them I've forgotten about since then. Because as soon as I started noticing girls, it was pretty much skateboarding, and that was about it.
So, okay, since one of the missions of this podcast is talking about the DC Essential 25 DC Essential graphic novels, I've been looking at trying to grab a few of those here and there as they're on sale. I've got, there's 25 of them. I think I've read 10 or 11, maybe. But most of them were like physical copies. So I really enjoy taking my notes digitally because I'll normally buy a combo pack and then put the digital thing online and take my notes at the computer with one window comics, one window notes. So I've been trying to grab a couple of those here and there digitally. But the problem was over the holidays, they had a sale of all of the essential DC graphic novels. So luckily, they were only $4.99 a piece, which some of these, like All-Star Superman, that's 12 comics for $5. And they're normally at least $2 a piece. So I slapped down enough to get 19 of those. So I'm good whenever we're ready to record those and knock these out. Because I've never read Watchmen, which is the first one I'm going to cover. But I'm looking forward to reading that. And I won't have to worry about, you know, putting down $12 each time I want to do a new podcast. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to that series.
Me too. Have you seen the movie?
No,
neither have I. See, we should read it. I'm thinking of maybe, I was thinking earlier of doing like two issues an episode. Now I'm thinking like maybe two episodes for the whole thing. One at the halfway point, and then one when it's over.
Cool.
Well, we can talk more about that later, but. And then also talking about what's in the movie and seeing what we thought about that.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Even it might just be like 10, 15 minute, kind of like Casey's Drive Home show, but
we can use a projector to watch it.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
We can fake it.
Get some popcorn. And here's the time for corrections. None have been sent in, so I guess I'm good so far. Sure, I've missed something. Y'all go ahead and send it in. And no iTunes reviews to talk about right now, so I guess on to the synopsis. Okay, and I do a break right there. with music, whatever.
You got your cool transitions.
I don't know if they're cool, but they're transitions. This part normally I record separately, but I'm going to go ahead and do it now. Superman Volume 3, Number 36, The Men of Tomorrow, Chapter 5, Exodus. Written by Jeff Johns. John Romita Jr. is the penciler. Claus Jansen inked this issue. Laura Martin, colorist. Saul Cipriano, lettering. Romita and Jansen with Martin did the cover. Francis Manipul did the variant cover. Ricky Purdon is the associate editor. Eddie Braganza is group editor. And Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Ulysses is appearing on every TV screen in the country, explaining how the fourth dimension's better future was a certainty, while the Earth's future can never be certain. He has determined that hatred, prejudice, and violence are a permanent stain on the Earth's culture, which he could not change if he tried. And so, he offers the first 6 million humans who come the chance to join him in the fourth dimension. They have 24 hours to decide. Also, I didn't mention I pulled this from dc.wikia.com. Watching the ships arrive from the offices of the Daily Planet, Perry White pitches Exodus of Earth as the headline for Clark Kent to write. But Clark is long gone. He has already caught up with Ulysses, demanding to know what he's trying. Neil responds that he is not kidnapping anyone, he is offering humans a choice. Clark tries to explain that no matter how dark humanity's prospects, there is always the light of hope for them. But Neil disagrees, believing that neither he nor Superman can save the Earth. He abandons Clark in the rain with no rebuttal. Meanwhile, Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen hurry toward the ship over Metropolis, though Jimmy isn't sure anyone will actually take Ulysses up on his offer. Lois reminds him that if Superman had made the offer, he might take it. Elsewhere, Neil's parents decide that they will go with him to the fourth dimension, but Superman appears in their living room, wondering where he is. When he realizes that they agree with Neil, though, his resolve fades. As the crowds converge beneath the ship, they begin to fight over who gets in first, and the fourth dimensioners appear to warn that violence will not be tolerated, barring entry to those who fought. All the people seem to believe that the fourth dimensional beings can cure their illnesses and make their lives better. Ulysses, meanwhile, visits Cleric in his prison and speaks briefly with him before returning to his parents. However, he must reluctantly tell them that they can't come with him. He's trying to protect them from something, but he won't tell them what. Superman has been waiting and demands to know what he's hiding. Grimly, Neil asks to simply be let to say goodbye to his parents. Superman refuses to let him go without answers, and Neil angrily attacks him. He explains that he didn't want it to come to this, but he has only one way to save his parents and Superman. He explains that a perfect world comes at a cost, and Earth must pay it. All right. Thanks for standing by while I read that, Mr. Redbeard.
Not a problem.
Let's see. Can you see the cover here?
Oh, let me go back to that window. I need to hook up my monitor.
You're sitting right next to me. Let's just hold the comic and look at it.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Here in Mick Red Studios.
Don't break the fourth wall!
That's right. You are sitting next to me. Get your hand off my leg.
That's good.
Okay, so I mentioned last time out that I had been seeing this cover sitting over there on my windowsill. I've got them all lined out from this past series, and this has been sitting there staring at me for a few weeks while I prepared for the last show and read it and everything. I read everything else before it, and at first I kind of didn't like it. I was like, why is Ulysses wearing Superman's outfit in the rain? It looks really weird. But the more I looked at it, the more I was like, I can't wait to read this.
My thoughts went back to chapter 34,
mm-hmm.
when he first starts showing that he absorbs energy of whatever is around him.
Oh.
And That's when I determined Ulysses is that kid you grew up with that claims to have the power of all those around him. The kid that makes you mad.
That's a weird kid.
Oh, were you that kid?
I must have been, because I can't think of anybody like that. I remember things every now and then that I'm like, did I really do that dumb stuff as a kid?
Oh, Cartman did. Remember, if you remember,
I don't
want to
be compared to Cartman.
What? No, I'm not doing that. But you know, there's you know, the ninja throwing star getting thrown into Butters on South Park.
Yeah.
Well, Cartman in that episode kept saying that he has the powers that everybody else has because he has the power to absorb it. Ulysses is Cartman.
Oh no. Respect my authority. That's great. But I guess I like mostly what this art is trying to convey to us, though. Like, everybody's reaching their hand up. They want to go with Ulysses and take me with you. And he's like a savior looking thing here. And the art's really cool, too. I mean, I don't like his hair. I never have really liked his hair, but it's him. So, yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Quickly, they forget Superman.
Right. And how, yeah, they can just reach out. And the theme from the last episode, or the last comic, of should we let Superman solve our problems or should we try to solve them ourselves? And I'm going to pull up some of these variant covers here. Can you see these?
Yeah.
Okay. One of them, yeah, one of them is a Brainiac Lego cover. Man, that's cute, I think. It's neat. Nothing really to say about that. Let's see. Combo pack, that's the one I've got. This one is awesome. This is the Francis Manapal cover. I'm not sure how to say his name. But it's Superman versus the Flash in a minimalistic fashion. I love it. This would be a freaking killer poster.
Yeah, it would
be. Especially right now with the Flash show kicking up.
Dude, I'm loving the minimal art thing right now. Ever since, I can't think of his name. The artist that did it for We're Alive started doing it.
Abaya?
That's been on a kick.
Is that his name?
J.M.? Yeah, yeah. Abaya Arts. Yeah.
And so. One more. The J.R. Jr. I realize I've been calling him Jr. because they abbreviate John Romita Jr. as J.R. J.R. And I've been calling him Jr. They probably call him J.R. Jr. I need to check on that. But anyways, here's his variant cover, which looks cool. He's hitting Superman with a burst of energy in the chest. And you can see Ulysses from the back. It looks awesome. But it gives away too much of the story too early for me. Like, if I had seen this, I might not have liked it early on. You know what I mean? Because you don't know at this point that they're going to fight.
Yeah.
That's the cover talk. Yeah, I like the cover.
The cover is pretty awesome.
So
I agree what you're saying. That other one did give it away a lot more.
Right. I wouldn't have liked that because that was what the suspense was. Like, are they going to fight? Are they going to work together? What's going on here?
Yeah, two Supermen.
Okay, so the scene-by-scene coverage is... We're starting out, like we said, Ulysses is making his pitch to humanity. And they've got these scenes when they're showing people around the world while Ulysses is talking. And the homeless family, they really... I don't know. When I got to that frame, it was like, yeah, man, things can be really tough. And it seems like there's somebody here that can... help fix things for you. I guess I don't know. That just hit me. Seeing family like that.
Got the eviction notice on the door.
Right, and they're just sitting out there with their bags. And then I was like, "Whoa, Obama!" Because I was reading it like guided view. I hit that right there.
Obama.
Yeah, right here.
Oh, yes, they did. I forgot about that.
And I also thought the golf clubs were a nice touch there on the couch. Like, what? This was funny to me. I guess John Romita thinks he's golfing in the Oval Office.
I got golf clubs in my office.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, play in the hallway.
I didn't know you had a presidential work area.
Oh, no. It's not that fancy.
So, okay, so the very first line is Ulysses mentions the idea that the day after this one. Or no, I guess I'm pulling this out of it. He talks about the day after this one he thought would always be a better one until now. I mean, do you live along that? I don't sit down and think, tomorrow will be better than today, you know, and do a musical or whatever. But I'm always thinking, like, it just seems like when I have a bad day, I'm looking forward to tomorrow because it's going to be better, like in the back of my mind or something like that.
I have a optimistic pessimist view. I expect the worst, and when it goes better than expected, I'm happy.
Right.
So that's about it.
So tomorrow is going to be terrible, but if it's good, that's all
I'm
right.
Better off for it. No, don't do that.
Hey, I didn't say it two more times and summon the Beatle McConaughey.
Freaking McConaughey. I forgot he was in Contact too. That's another discussion though.
He was. Space cowboy. Let's see. I talked a little at the end of last show also about trying to figure out exactly where the conflict would be between Superman and Ulysses. Since Ulysses isn't our typical bad guy, I thought maybe part of it would be that those 6 million people seems like a high number. That might be way under the number of people that really want to go. So yeah, there's going to be a fight. At least there's going to be conflict somewhere between Superman and Ulysses if all of a sudden the whole world's in an uproar because there's not enough spaces. And also, based on what we've seen of Ulysses then, I didn't think, and up till now, I didn't think it would be for nefarious purposes to be taking these people with him. So I didn't know, like, if he's doing a truly nice thing here, why would there be a fight, you know? But we'll get to that later. Let's go another page here. We've got this ship coming up. Where is it? There we go. This is actually like a big two-page spread.
Yeah, this thing looks like the IAS got a bigger budget.
Right. It is one, like a baller space station, but can just hover over a city.
I mean, ISS. I don't always say that.
Yeah, you're a programmer. You can't help it. You probably live in IIS half the time.
No, that's the sad part. I don't. It's just hatred.
Okay, so the next scene is more about Ulysses' invitation and also a conversation with Superman. I'm gonna skip through. Stop me if there's anywhere you want anything you want to talk about.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, down here. Let's see what page is this. On the page 7 of the digital copy is whenever Superman and him are talking, and they're kind of in shadow. This little silhouette here.
Yeah.
This is the third time I've seen in this series when there's an artistic division placed between them. There was one back a few episodes ago when they were in the ship and there was smoke rising and they were standing on opposite sides facing each other and the smoke was like coming up diagonally between them. Kind of the same diagonal line here. So they're being split by this lightning. This is, I like the way that he symbolically shows that they're broken on something.
Oh, I like that. I didn't even think about it on that level.
I never would have if I hadn't been looking at that one a few issues back. I was like, this might be something.
I don't know. I thought it was some really quick judgment on Ulysses' part to go like, well, it's not worth saving. You guys are broken.
Oh, yeah. He turned on a dime.
It was so quick.
And because, yeah, he was just talking to his dad either at the beginning of the last issue or the one before that about, Dad, you know, there's always hope for tomorrow and never lose hope and things are, you know, things can get better. And then like 2 pages later, he's like, okay, this is a lost cause.
Yeah, I didn't understand how he could get to that assessment so quickly.
That was an unfortunate, I guess rapid character development is what I was thinking. But, and this issue may answer that, since it may not be all that it seems.
Well, you know, the other thing I thought too is, okay, he's just going around observing all these different memorials. And so what if everybody had the radical approach, like, it never happened? So would he have just been okay with everything?
Oh, if we wouldn't have memorialized things like that?
Yeah, like, or had the approach like some countries do where they say, oh, the Holocaust never happened. Cover that up, bury it, you know, whatever.
Right. Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, that's all they showed as far as the comic is concerned. So that was my first thought in my head was, oh, well, those people would have been all right.
That's good. Let me note that. We need to come back to that at the end. Yeah, that's a good thing we need to talk about at the end for sure.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so Superman, he's saying, you can't take the people. And I'm like, yeah, you can't take those people. And then Ulysses replies, he's not taking anybody. He's inviting them. And so when I was reading this the first time, I was really invested in it, this conversation. And I was like, how do I feel about this? Like, Superman's like, you can't just take people. And he's saying, Ulysses is saying, I'm not taking them. I'm inviting them. If they want to come, are you going to stop them? And I'm just thinking, he's stuck. I mean, Superman, what is he supposed to do here?
I don't know. I don't know why he has any say-so in it.
Right. It's such a strange place. I mean, for Superman to be, or for any kind of superhero comic, because normally it's just black and white. You got a bad guy and you got a good guy. This is so different.
Yeah,
to this point.
A little odd. I don't know. That was kind of my thought process, too. I was like, what is he doing? Mm-hmm. I never even chose sides, but until he said, you know, it's their choice, I'm inviting them. Then I was kind of going, well, whose place is it to say anything about it?
Right. Like, if I want to go, Superman, you going to stop me? I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's like let 6 million people go and just leave it alone, and suddenly Ulysses is not a problem anymore.
Right. Are you going to be a dictator? I mean, and stop it?
Yeah.
And so Ulysses and him talk about this place, it's on a bad, it's going down. What I'm trying to say is the Earth, you know, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And Superman's like, no, you know, in the last 25 years since you've been gone, things have gotten better. And Ulysses is like, what? And Superman's like, a lot of stuff. But but there's often discussion about how bad the world is. But on the other side, there's some really awesome optimists out there, which are just kind of strange to think of, especially now because everything's about the apocalypse and the zombie apocalypse and everything. But I'm enjoying a podcast. It's called Earning My Ears. And it's these two guys that they just love Disney World. One of them works there. But they often talk about Walt Disney. Well, hold on. They often talk about Walt Disney and his role, particularly as an optimist and a futurist. And like the song, you know, there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. And how we should kind of look forward to making things better together instead of just wallowing in things are going to be terrible forever.
He was also a racist and was into genetic engineering, but, you know, whatever.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Have you seen Song of the South? Uncle Remus?
If I have, it's been a long time.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. And I'm going to see if they have a promo for Earning My Ears, and I'll play it in this show later. But this year, astronaut Chris Hadfield, who got famous when he made that, why can't I think of the name of the David Bowie song? Space Odyssey, right? No? I can't think of it right now. But so Chris Hadfield covered the David Bowie song about Major Tom to ground control, you know?
Rocket Man?
No, that's Elton John. I think it's Space Oddity.
That must be. Okay, because you said
Major Tom to ground control.
Yeah. You said David Bowie?
Yeah, David Bowie.
I don't know. I've got to look it up.
Okay, yeah, but...
Oh, Space Oddity.
Yeah, Space Oddity. I said Odyssey at first. My bad. Okay, so astronaut Chris Hadfield, who covered that song while he was in the space station and did this really cool video with it, this year he released like a super optimistic New Year's video that when I saw it was him, I had to check it out. And it was pretty cool. It was just about 2 minutes. And it was talking about mortality rates among, you know, human births now versus a long time ago or like 50 years ago, and how much better that is and how much better a few different things are and how much better things can be. And I thought that was really neat, especially after reading this and seeing the problem with Ulysses saying things can't get better and all that. But anyways, that's a far tangent. We got off to really far places.
We're good at that.
Yes, we can do that. All right, so the next place we are is after Ulysses flies off and leaves Superman with a conundrum. He ends up at Neil Quinn's family's place. And in this scene, also Lois is outside and she sees the ship. and she's just seen the message from Ulysses, and she starts taking off towards the ship, running towards the story as always.
Up until this, looking at it just now,
yeah,
I didn't realize his dad was missing an arm.
Oh, wow, yeah, I didn't notice either, and his sleeve is kind of shaped like the fourth dimensional beings.
Yeah, why is it up in the air right now? That's what drew my attention to it.
Okay, I feel really dumb. How did I miss that?
That's what I was just thinking for myself.
Huh. Yeah, I never saw that. And I looked at that earlier today, and I just kind of thought maybe the art was off and didn't look close enough to realize, no, it's straight up.
Is that foreshadowing something else that's going to happen?
It's got to be.
Wow.
And look, Superman's arm's missing at the forearm in this one. You'd think you'd see it coming out the other side of that column.
Oh, that's weird.
Doing a little magic trick on page 10 of the digital copy.
Oh, now I'm really excited about reading the next episode or issue.
Right, me too. And and Lois and Jimmy are talking here. It's funny because she's running towards this, which could be trouble. And Jimmy mentions, why are you running towards that? And she says, that's where the story is. And he says, that's also where trouble is, which, when I put it that way, means you are definitely running to it. Of course, I love that because Lois is one of my favorite supporting characters in anything. I guess she's a main character, right? She's not really a supporter.
Yeah, I think she's a main character.
Definitely. She hasn't been, sadly enough, in this story arc. I can't wait till they get back to more of Jimmy's story with his parents and what's going on with them, but you'd think we'd have had more about that.
You know, some of that I'm really lost on. I need to go back and read some of your past issues.
As far as I know, I think this is all fresh stuff, just introduced.
Well, because at the end of this, I got questions for you about like issue 32.
Okay, cool. That sounds cool.
I was confused.
It's probably something new that since we have a new writer and he's building his own little foundation for stories. But yeah, I'll be glad to see about some of that stuff.
Okay.
So Jimmy is saying, well, who's going to go with this guy? And Lois says, well, if Superman made the same offer, would you take it? And he says, well, when you put it that way, I probably would. And I thought about it too, like, wow, yeah, like I've loved Superman all my life and these guys know him, so they'd probably go with him. So why wouldn't you go with Ulysses maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to the cover art.
Yeah.
Some of these people are probably looking at Ulysses as if he is another Superman.
Right. And to the common person, what's the difference between them? They both have been flying around saving people. Yeah, one's been here longer. But
yeah,
I could see that. So Mr. Quinn, Ulysses' dad, he's ready to pack. He's going to go with his son. I thought that was, I liked that little, they included that information. And we get this shot of the crowd under a ship at the very bottom here.
Yeah.
I mean, they got signs. One says, take me. And they're just, they got their hands up, kind of like the cover, and they are ready to go. And Superman's like, things are about to go south. I need to talk to Ulysses. And he also mentions he can hear everyone talking about Neil. And the military's checking on the ship here, flying some jets past it, which I was kind of expecting them to get shot down. But I guess completely peaceful place might not do that unless they're trying to stop more violence. I don't know. I'm kind of just going off places I don't know where they're going to go. It's kind of like leaving them there.
This part of this issue reminded me of, you know, like during Y2K and some of the, some of the common events, you had like the cults that would get together and they wanted some alien being riding a comet to come take them away.
It sounds like Heaven's Gates.
Yeah, Heaven's Gate. There's
the Hellbound comic.
Yeah, there's been multiple though. I mean, it kind of reminds me how people can get in that mentality.
Right, and now they're in a mob mentality. And so we're at the point where the ships open the doors and people are underneath and they start the fight. And then the beings, the 4D beings, they're not like, there's a difference. They're not beings from like the fifth or sixth dimension. They are just from a different dimension alongside us, parallel, not from a higher dimension, which for the at first I was thinking, oh no, it's a higher dimension, but whatever.
This was really cool. I loved how they represented them speaking with their accent or whatever, but it being English.
Right, the lettering here was really neat.
So it was kind of neat.
Okay, I've got an audience member now who's going to be writing in a book. We'll see how this goes. One little another snippet here is Lois asking if Jimmy's getting this, and she's wide-eyed seeing these, I guess, dimensional aliens. And Jimmy says, "When haven't I?" And it's just kind of funny because there's been two or three times in the last four or five issues where he has totally missed out on the best shot he could get.
I didn't catch that.
And so, yeah, the aliens, as these two guys kind of fight, saying, you know, I'm going to go first or I'm going to go and you're not going to make it or whatever. And these guys say, we're not going to tolerate any violence and you two are not even welcome aboard. And so I was just beginning to think, this sci-fi, the sci-fi element of this is so cool.
Because of the fourth dimensional beings or what?
Well, just, I mean, their ship, their completely different, very advanced life form. I mean, you could see a movie with, not only to take Superman out of it, you could see a movie where these guys come to, hey, we can take 6 million with us. We have a super peaceful place and you're more than welcome to come. And this sort of thing kind of happening, even without Superman or Lois or anything. It'd be a great, it's just a cool story.
Yeah, and then you get into the philosophy or the ethics of it, and you could kind of debate that back and forth.
Right, that could be a neat kind of philosophical problem. I could see what you're saying. Like, okay, so beings come here. They offer to take 6 million people to their planet, and it's completely peaceful. Should government step in? Should government stop people? What should people not go? Should they go? What would you need to see before you would go?
I can tell you right now, I wouldn't go up there with my family. That wouldn't happen.
Yeah, it would have to be something where I was born many generations after they had visited. there was just like visiting another country that, you know, you wouldn't take your kids to an unsafe country for no good reason if you were already here in a safe country, right?
Right.
So, but you wouldn't mind going to Canada because there's been generations and generations of goodwill back and forth. So there's no problem with Canada.
It's
Hello,
Canada.
Canadian listeners. How are y'all doing? And so further on in this story, let's see. Okay, so the next page has got Neil visiting Cleric. And it's kind of funny because I read this page, and then as soon as I flipped to the next one, which is back at Neil's parents' house when he's talking to them, I completely had amnesia that scene ever happened and didn't really think much about it until after I'd already read the whole thing and was like, wait a second, came back to it. Because Neil and him say something back and forth to each other, but I don't really know what it is.
Right. And why did he even go there?
Right. That's what I was thinking. I figured he was going there to be like, hey, I'm about to put you back on the ship, taking you to jail, you know? And I was like, well, wait, I thought he wanted them to stay here so the fourth dimension didn't have him. But yeah, so as soon as we got past it, I completely blanked it out. Like it didn't happen.
And the other thing that got me too was the guards are talking like they want to pick up and leave.
Oh yeah. I like that they showed that the common person, and even maybe these guys are like high-tech guards somewhere, but the common people are all like, you know, I've got people in my family that are sick. My wife's got sick family. They want to go.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, well, are these guys going to up and leave this post? Is Cleric going to get out? You know, what the heck's going to happen here?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so more on that visit later. Okay, so at this point, we're still thinking Neil, good guy, good intentions. He comes home to see his parents, and I wrote that. I took this note here as I read it the first time. I was like, oh man, Neil is willing to turn his parents away since they aren't in need. How good is this guy? Because that's in my mind, I was like, his parents don't need a better world. They're doing fine already. I'm like, how good is this guy? And then I keep reading at some point when Neil says, I love you both. That's why you can't come with me. I'm like, because they aren't in need? And then he says, I'm trying to protect you.
Yeah.
And that's when this whole arc changes.
But there's no way Superman knows this.
Except that, look right here. Oh, you're saying up to this point, there's no way Superman knows this, so why is he questioning him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I think Superman's kind of like a step behind him. Like, he's still arguing that we can't disarm the world. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I forgot he was already in the house.
Okay, so yeah. So Superman, he's in the other room. I guess he was going to the bathroom or something. I really was trying to figure out why. I was trying to figure out why he wasn't in the room whenever Neil walked in.
Just creeping around.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I was trying to think of an apt quote that would fit there from some movie where somebody walks in.
I was here the whole time.
Yeah. Absorb, I heard that, everything you said.
Or absorb that ability, Ulysses.
You didn't see my energy trail whenever you walked in here?
Like a snail.
Yeah. Super Slug was here. So, and I also made this note the first time I read it. It's getting really real in here. This is crazy. I mean, tension you could cut with a knife in this room.
Why is he here?
Yeah, what's really going on? And so, let's see. Yeah, we're learning that Ulysses, with tears in his eyes, is protecting them from something, which is why they can't go, and that's when he appears. And it's this next scene, right here at the bottom, enlarge it, where Superman steps in front of the Quins, and he's like, he wants an answer. And I love this shot.
Huh, you know what else?
What's that? His arm is there.
No, he's using his fourth dimensional appendage to pat his wife's back.
Yes. The fold. Yeah, the fold in his unarmed sleeve there is kind of, it's been up. It looks like an arm. I can see what you're saying.
There's got to be something to it. It's weird.
Let's go back one more click and see what we can see on this arm. It's like every shot, it's framed where you can't hardly tell that it's missing. Okay, so yeah, he steps in front of the parents. We've got these shots being framed where you can't really tell that Neil's dad is missing an arm. And I now that you've brought that up, I can't help but think that's intentional. Because there hasn't been a great shot of it.
I think he saved the world from being consumed whenever he stuck his arm into another dimension.
Right. The dimension is shrinking, but there's still an arm-sized hole. We need something to plug it up.
See, I was getting to the point where it's like, oh, maybe it's supposed to be pinned up, and I'm interpreting it wrong. But mm-hmm. Then it looks like it's behind her back, like he's comforting with it.
Yeah, I still think that's just a bad representation of it being pinned up.
Let me touch you with my fourth dimension arm.
Neil's dad says hi. And his adopted father. Okay, so after this stare down, right here, I mean, we go straight good, bad, and ugly. It's just not my comic rating, but the movie.
Ooh.
The squinty eyes.
Is that a contrast between what's good and what's wrong? No. I was trying to see if he was trying to say something there, but...
He probably is. I probably just don't see it.
It's not clear vision.
Huh.
You know, at this point, I was wondering if he's being controlled by somebody else.
Yeah, that would answer a lot, because he shifted his personality pretty quickly, starting there.
Big time.
Yeah, because...
He's going to leave his parents behind, but he's going to trash their house first.
Yeah. That's a good point, because he had those little mind ticks on his head. Superman got him off of his head, or whatever. And then, shortly after that, it's whenever his personality completely changed.
Didn't find the one in his pants.
Right. Well, Stand By Me.
Burn the leeches off. The
leeches, right? All right. So Ulysses stares or punches at him. I wrote this down the first time as they swing at each other, but they're like, no, no, no. We've got to look at it. Ulysses is definitely striking first. Might be something else if Superman just hauls off and tries to cold cock him. Boom! So there's not a whole lot to talk about with these next few pages. It's just a fight between Superman and Ulysses, which looks really cool. Let's see. What is it? There's a big thing we got to talk about. Other than, yeah, Ulysses kind of overloads Superman with some energy. Definitely. Fighting him, beating him up. But he mentions, you know, Superman's a good man. He's doing this to save his parents. He's doing this to save Superman. But he also says, I've done this before.
Yeah, and I thought it was kind of funny that they show the LexCorp ad right here. And I didn't know if this had something to do with it. But I couldn't really come to that conclusion because there was a poster on the wall inside of the Daily Planet that said that Lex Luthor saves the world.
That's
funny. And I didn't know if I missed something in that or what.
In the time since I read that in Superman 32, and now I've read the story that comes from. It's really good. It's called Forever Evil. I checked it out from the library. I don't think I have it digitally, but yeah, it's really good.
Forever Evil?
Yeah. The basic storyline is that an evil Justice League from another universe makes it to our universe, and they've destroyed theirs. And they're in our universe, and they claim to have killed the Justice League now, like the one that's here, the good Justice League. And then so Lex Luthor has to put together a team of villains to take them on. So it's really cool. Like the bad guys are the good guys taking on the bad guys who are usually good guys.
Huh. Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's a good read for sure. And it's one of those you can just step into. There's a couple points that I didn't realize that there was tie-ins. Like Batman had a few different comics that told their own story but kind of tied into that one a little bit, like here and there. So there would be things where I was like, well, am I missing something? But it wasn't anything too big that you couldn't just read the 6 or 7 issues and cover it.
Hmm. I'll have to go dig that one up. Yeah, and I've done this before. What the heck does that mean?
Yeah. And I kind of had a vague idea when I read that the first time, but I was like, oh, that's crazy that it's that big of news. And now, apparently, after that, I think Lex might be helping the Justice League. I'm not really sure. So it's an interesting thing going on.
It seems to be a reoccurring theme. I mean, I don't know if I have enough to really have that foundation or not, but the movie, they're going to transform Earth into another existence, and it's going to be built upon the foundation of, or built upon the skeletons of the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he started talking about, I've done this before, I was like, what? Is he harvesting people from different planets?
Yeah. So he says he's done this before. The perfect world has cost, and Earth is going to pay that price. So, yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. We have this final shot of Ulysses holding Superman up by his hair, and he's just whooped, nosebleed and everything.
Yeah, pretty sad.
Yes, it is. And it's funny you brought it up about Man of Steel. I've seen a lot of stuff, a lot of jokes, basically, about all the Superman movies. All they are, every single evil plot is a real estate plot. It's so funny. It's I'm sure people listening to this, if they're, most of them probably know more than I do about it all, but so Superman 1, you know, was real estate. I think all the rest of them were as well. And then we had Superman Returns, when he wanted to take over, you know, Kevin Spacey wanted to take over like the whole world with real estate. I can't speak enough about it intelligently. And Man of Steel, the whole world.
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty funny.
Well, I don't know. The other reoccurring theme that I have seen, like, I read some Superman when I was younger, but he always, like, whenever there's a bigger villain, he always seems to get tossed around like a rag doll before he's able to beat the person.
Or yeah. And the thing I hear people say that to kind of combat that is that he's so strong and he doesn't want to kill. So he starts off not hitting as hard as he can hit. So all of a sudden he hits somebody, you know, he's fighting somebody that is equal power and he gets whooped until he is like, okay, I can actually hit this guy.
Oh.
But that doesn't always fit. It's just a easy.
Come on, Superman. There's an easier way.
Yeah.
Unless he's a masochist.
Let's see. What, yeah, just the fight scene was, I loved it. The art was great. And, okay, so let's go back about the memorial visits. We talked about how his personality changed seemingly abruptly, and it's what seems like probably just too convenient to fit the story so we can, you know, fit this into a 6-issue arc or however long it's going to be. Like, why did he turn? If he already had this plan to do this and he's done it before, why visit the memorials? Was that going to change his mind either way?
Yeah, it made it seem like he's got some control in this. And I don't know. There's other moments where it doesn't seem like he has any control whatsoever.
Yeah. If the plan was always to take 6 million people, why go visit the memorials? To, like, Superman's not watching him to see if he's pretending to have this moral problem, you know? So I don't know. I'm not sure why they would do that.
Well, okay. And then, okay, this is because I missed some of the other episodes with you and I didn't have a chance to really ask you questions about it.
Yeah, what's up?
What role does, because I don't know who this is. I don't know if this is Mr. Oz. I don't know who this is. Who's the guy in the monk robe that's observing everything?
That's good. Part of our unanswered questions.
Okay. I didn't know if I had missed something or what.
No, you totally didn't miss anything. He's either a new guy or a rehash of an old guy that we don't know who he is yet. I think he's new because I'm pretty sure Geoff Johns, who's writing this, is wanting to introduce all new villains and just have, you know, kind of build Superman's rogues gallery.
Huh.
So, okay, so the art, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm just going to say, Romita's art's been growing on me. It started off, I kind of wasn't sure where I was going with it, but almost all this issue to me was good or great. I mean, it's growing on me. I can't tell. The fight was awesome. Most of Superman throughout the whole issue was good, though it's definitely like a Romita good, because seeing this out of context would just be strange to me. For some reason, his art just looks unlike anybody else's. And the fourth dimensional beings are so simple looking, but I like them too. They're pretty cool. They don't need to be snazzy or anything like that. As far as the bad, Lois and Jimmy, they look pretty bad in a couple shots, but that's just nitpicking. And there wasn't any ugly that I saw. I make jokes every now and then about how Romita can't draw hands. There was definitely some of that this issue, but...
Well, that's just intentional.
Right. Well, sometimes you just don't even draw them. Yeah. See what you're saying. And the unanswered or new questions. Ivan?
I'm not going to be able to look at the hands without seeing that now.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Superman's hand on the truck just now?
Yeah, some places the hands look like actually really good, but other places they just look so foreign. I don't know what it is. It's like really fat fingers or something.
Yeah. And digits where they're not supposed to be.
Right. But yeah, that's... I'm kind of nitpicking there. The proportions are off and stuff. I'm not sure what it is. But so, last time out in this section, we asked, you know, continued to ask, who is Mr. Oz or this mysterious watcher? Are they the same person? How did Lois find Neil's family? I suspect it's just because she's an awesome reporter. We're not going to ever know how. Where is the machinist? I think maybe the crow that he released saved his consciousness if it wasn't somehow wirelessly transmitted in that explosion from the last issue. Okay, so I asked last time, how will Superman react to Ulysses' plan? And I don't feel cheated, but I'm just saying, I kind of feel like we, in a way, we did get cheated of seeing what Superman, like what one would do in this crazy situation if it had truly been an altruistic offer where there was nothing bad, you know, uncovered. But since Superman uncovered, there was possibly more sinister purposes. it was easy that it was heading, it was going to head towards a fight. But what would have happened otherwise? We kind of talked about that. We don't know anything more about Jimmy's family or this new character, Jackie Winters. If y'all know about Jackie Winters, please definitely write in. Let me know either on the Facebook page or email mickginger, mickginger at gmail.com. It's mickginger0. Have I been sharing that wrong the whole time? I hope not.
Way to go.
Yeah, I don't think so, because Mark, he writes in, yeah, mickginger0 at gmail.com. But bring my notes back up. Lost my spot. And I'm going to hold off on cashing in on one of my predictions from episode one, where I predicted Ulysses would turn out to be a bad guy or evil. And I really wish that he wouldn't be this bad guy he looks like he's turning into, which apparently he's not. I don't think he's going to be our straight out just an evil guy. But I think he's probably going to see himself as an agent of the greater good for the fourth dimension.
Hmm.
Which ultimately would turn him into a just following orders kind of guy who's doing evil things and hiding behind that.
Yeah, I'm afraid he's going to end up being a pawn in something.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we have that mysterious guy wondering just how far Superman or Clark, because he knows Clark's history somehow. He's wondering just how long Clark's going to hold on to hope for. So he's going to be pushed for some reason. Okay, what did this issue bring us? That Ulysses has done this before, whatever this is. Also, Cleric and Ulysses maybe appear to be working together. That's something else that we got this issue. You think of anything else big that I didn't mention other than Neil's dad's missing an arm, which I'm going to have to go back and check all the pages.
Yeah, for some reason I didn't notice it until tonight.
Right.
I don't know. Well, I did notice that whatever the craft was that came down in Chapter 32, it looked like a flying windshield wiper.
Yeah, the like bent black thing. Yeah, that was...
It doesn't look like the same tech that the people that Ulysses is with is using.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I didn't know how the whole machinist thing played into all this. I was a little confused. I guess that was just a random happening as the Ulysses thing played out.
Yeah, you and I both were definitely not sure.
But, I mean, it just could be because I'm so green to a lot of this.
No, it's definitely all new stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah, Machinist, he seems like just another villain of the week. But he could be tied into it. I don't know. And, okay, so on to the favorite lines of the show. I picked out two of these. And one of them was during Superman and Ulysses' conversation earlier in the issue, where Superman just said, "I'm not here to fix every problem the world has. It's beyond me, Ulysses, but it's not beyond the people here." So he has faith in the people, you know, that he's protecting. And then Jimmy to Lois, when he says, "That's also where trouble is," which... when I put it that way, means you are definitely running to it. I love that. Okay, before I do my ratings, I just wanted to ask you a couple questions. And you mentioned earlier you read some Superman when you were younger. And I was just going to kind of ask you, is this your this isn't your first Superman storyline? Or have you read like one-off issues here and there or what?
Let's see, what was it? I've read a couple different... I guess not the same universe. I read a lot of these series where there was like a zombie thing going on, and I guess when they rebooted it to be like a younger Superman, a teenager or something.
Oh, like Superboy back in the 90s?
Maybe. It may have been that.
When he was the clone?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Some of it's really fuzzy on the brain. It seemed like there was another one, too, that had something to do with robots or something. I'm not really sure.
Right, yeah. So after Superman died, there was four guys that either tried to help protect the city or tried to claim that they were Superman. But you had the cyborg Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
The Superboy clone, Steel and the Eradicator, who was like the Superman guy that would just straight up kill people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's been forever. I don't really remember much about them.
Yeah, I've got all those over here in a box.
Really?
Yeah, I've recently started collecting. I'm collecting kind of like two time frames of the same story thing, because they rebooted Superman in 86. And the events you're talking about happened in like 92, 93 through 94. So I'm collecting. I started at 86, and I'm currently through 1989. I just ordered like up through 89, I think, in the 90. And that's in the mail. So I've got 86 through 90. And then I've got like 92 through, I think I've got all the way up till like January 96. And the reason I'm doing that is because I listen to, there's an awesome podcast. It's called From Crisis to Crisis. In 1986, there was the Crisis event, which rebooted a lot of DC. And so that was a crisis. And then in 2006, there was a crisis, which did kind of a soft reboot. And so it's 20 years. And those guys are covering almost everything that Superman is in that 20-year period. So when I read as a kid, it was like during the death of and a little bit after that. So there's a lot of fuzzy stuff in there, like, because there was still 6 years of stories in the background I didn't know about that they always talked about or referenced. So just now I'm reading all that to catch up, you know, and as I read it, I'll go back and listen to their podcast. But I'm also current with them because they recently, about 2 years ago, did the death of. And so I'm kind of reading that part and then listening. So I'm just, yeah, like I said, I've got two fronts I'm following them with.
Cool. Yeah, I never stuck to just DC or just Marvel, or I was all over the place. I read a lot of Dark Horse comics.
Speaking of, you see the Star Wars sale they had the other day?
Huh.
Dark Horse, I guess they're not going to be allowed to sell Marvel comics. I'm not sure all the background there with Disney and, you know, Marvel having them back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Dark Horse, who made all the original Star Wars comics, they sold digitally every Star Wars comic they ever made for $300, which I hear was a fantastic deal. Our Hobbit friend was considering getting it.
Wow. Well, I'd probably peek through his stuff if he got it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I never read it. Did they follow any particular storyline, or was it like the fan fiction stuff, or what?
I just listened to a guy who wrote somewhere along in one of those stories, and he actually wrote in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a neat podcast called My Star Wars Story, and he just has people tell their Star Wars story. But yeah, one of the guys was the writer, and he said, you know, like, he could write with anybody, except they wouldn't let him write with Han Solo because he was in carbonite, and he couldn't kill off any of the main characters from the movies. But other than that, he could bring up new people, make up his own stories, as long as they didn't go against the movies.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I read some of the authorized, not by George Lucas, but other, like, random authors. But they were more of, like, books and graphic novels. There was a place where we both lived that carried a bunch of them. It wasn't a bookstore. It wasn't a comic book store. It was, like, a boutique store, and they happened to have them on a shelf in there. I used to go, and I could never afford them, so I used to go in there and just read them while they were on the shelf.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I read the one about Chewbacca getting crushed by a moon.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
But, yeah, I didn't ever read the comics. I'm trying to think of what else. I read some weird stuff as far as DC is concerned. Like, I think there was a Poison Ivy series, I want to say. From Batman.
Oh, I'm sure there was. Yeah.
And I think I read a good portion of those. I don't know. I had some oddball interest.
It's a beautiful, misguided ginger.
Yes. So.
Okay. And as I kind of touched on earlier, what a strange storyline for you to begin on, at least in this new continuity. Because, like I said, normally it's cut and dry. One guy's good, one guy's bad. Superman's there to inspire hope, chew bubblegum, and punch and punch anything bad. And he's all out of bubblegum. So all the while holding a really great Clark Kent-centric story arc, which is always fun because you kind of have multiple story fronts there. So, but what's been your take of this run so far? You like, have you liked it or what?
Yeah, it's been pretty cool so far. It's been very exciting, and I look forward to every episode, every issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun when we hadn't read this issue yet. And we were kind of waiting, and then we both were like, "Whoa!"
Yeah.
Can't wait to record this issue.
Oh, it's really cool. it's been a good break from some of the other stuff I've been reading and listening to. So,
mm-hmm. All right. So we have out of a 5, I'm going to rate this. The story I'm going to give a 4, which is, for me is a great. For me that means it's a great story. But I'm not exactly sure what to think of it. Oh, it's my stand here. It's unique and I like it, but I want to see where it's going for sure. I'm not sold on this arc. I mean, it could fall apart in this next one, like so many story arcs do. If it's the last act, but yeah, so I think it's a solid issue. The art, I'm going to
like it being summed up in this next issue.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That would be terrible.
I think so too. I'm hoping this is going to be one of those mega arc 12 issue things. Cause it's got a lot packed in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so our art is a 4.25. I think that's my highest rating I've given for the art. And I can't tell you if it's because it's growing on me or because it's really good. But that's just a very subjective answer. The cover, 4.25.
This was a really flashy episode.
Definitely. It was. There's a lot of the blue energy going around and a lot of finally getting the fight that we thought might have been coming. And I guess we used to do a little bit of name game on the Weird Life Fancast. And this issue was called Exodus. So it's not that hard to really play the name game on.
With the way that Superman got his butt kicked, I think he had an Exodus in his pants.
Oh, no. That's funny. All right. So, that's the end of this part. We're going to go ahead and play some promos and come back with the news, question of the week, and then a little announcement about the Weird Life Fancast.
We all remember seeing years ago those futuristic drawings saying what the future is going to be.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing.
Gleaming buildings, fast monorails. This is the future.
That was all started by a mountain.
Twice the size of Manhattan.
We want you to share with us our latest and greatest dream.
Walt Disney World.
Better than any other urban environment in America.
Two True Freaks proudly presents.
We hope that it will be unlike anything else on this earth.
Golf courses, campgrounds, stores, hotels.
Earning My Ears.
A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for everyone who participates. We're ready to go right now.
Earning My Ears, a Walt Disney World-centric podcast, is available monthly at twotruefreaks.com.
Superman.
Captain Marvel.
Batman.
It is 1985.
Robin of Earth 2.
Sergeant Rock.
The Legion of Superheroes.
This is the most eagerly awaited comic book event in 50 years.
Tommy Tomorrow.
Jonah Hex.
Commandy.
It will one day be called the greatest comic book event of all time.
Swamp Thing.
Wonder Woman.
The New Teen Titans.
The Haunted Tank.
Infinity Incorporated.
Worlds will live.
Green Arrow.
Worlds will die.
Supergirl.
The Flash.
And that is only the beginning.
The Justice League of America.
The All-Star Squadron.
The Huntress.
Ariana.
The Metal Man.
Firestorm. The Nuclear
the
Man.
Outsiders.
Green Lantern.
The Blue Beetle.
The Crime Syndicate.
Warlord.
The Guardians of the Universe.
Tales of the Justice Society of America proudly presents...
And many, many more.
Crisis on Infinite Earths. the DC Universe will never be the same.
Coming January only at twotruefreaks.com.
It's coming in on the RSS feed.
You are not alone.
And we're back with the Superman news that caught my eye. They have wrapped production on Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, and it will be moving into the long post-production phase, as it's not coming out. At least it's not. It's scheduled for March 2016.
Say that again.
They've wrapped production on Batman v Superman, principal production.
Oh, I thought you said Batman beats Superman.
Oh, Batman v Superman.
Huh.
I hope they don't do a Batman beats Superman story. I would not be excited about that.
No, that sounds stupid.
Thank you. Thank you. See? I like Batman, but there's just no way.
Yeah, there's no way. He's not a real suit. He doesn't even have a suit. A mech suit like Iron Man. He's just a dude.
Well, we're going to cover Dark Knight Strikes, and there may be something like that in that one.
What?
It's awesome. It's, you know, here's an enjoyable Batman story.
The way I look at Superman is like he's taking on some really high level issues. Batman just cleans up whatever else is getting around.
The real draft. He's not normally dealing with these interdimensional super beings.
You know those old the cartoon series and some old comic books of Superman. They would be stopping a bank robbery. Well, right. That's more of a Batman issue now.
Oh, they call the help desk, and he's Batman's tier one. Superman's like tier 1,000.
Yeah.
So is this more the bank robbery variety, or the super intelligent machine that takes cities and puts them in bottles?
Right.
Which one are we dealing with here? That's funny. I rather like the Superman dealing with the common criminals, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Okay, so this is, I've been looking forward to this. I really have been. DC, every year, once or twice a year, they do like special like little variant covers based on themes. Mm-hmm. And recently they've done a selfie one, which in the age of the selfie, I thought I was like, oh, God, come on, this is so dumb. Why do a selfie cover? But I went ahead and got over that, and I enjoyed it, thought it was neat. Let's look at some of these. We've got, I'm just going to go ahead and drop this on you without saying anything.
Selfies. Yes!
Okay.
Bill and Ted.
I brought up, DC's doing a month where the covers are the variant covers are going to be based on famous movie posters.
Oh my God, that's great.
So Superman in Action Comics looks like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, or I'm not sure which one this looks like, but and it's got, there's Superboy.
Yeah, I see
in
him.
The phone booth. They have all the guys from
and the mech one too.
Yep. They have a Cyborg Superman, Steel, the Eradicator, with Doomsday and Superman on top looking like Bill and Ted.
That is fantastic.
That's great.
Awesome. You know, they're supposed to be coming out with a new movie.
The Bill and Ted. That. And you know, that's another one of those classics I've never seen.
What?
Yeah, I can't wait to see him.
Oh man, I can't wait. We gotta have a movie night.
Definitely. Oh, and this is funny. This is also has Keanu Reeves in it.
It's a good Keanu Reeves. Like good. You're not expecting a whole lot.
Right. So this other one, can you see this one here?
Yes.
The Batman Detective Comics looks like The Matrix with we got Red Hood and Jim Gordon and Catwoman as Trinity.
That's pretty funny.
That's a lot of fun. Here is, I didn't know Harley Quinn had her own thing, but they have her as Jailhouse Rock. That's pretty cool. Let's see. What's the next one? You'll recognize this one.
Oh, nice.
Supergirl as Wizard of Oz with Cyborg Superman, this guy named Hell. And I'm not sure, I guess that's the Banshee on the right as the Tin Man.
Hmm.
Thought that was neat. They should have put Crypto in the basket. The Super Dog. Oh, look. Yeah. I didn't even realize Oz is a Kandor, the Bottle City.
Oh.
It totally is.
That's neat.
That is cool. Okay.
I guess because the movie came out too. But there's been a lot of things that have been doing a play on. Well, that's hilarious.
Got Batman.
This has been doing a play on Wizard of Oz.
Was there?
Yeah. Yeah. Supernatural did an episode. I'm trying to think. There was like one or two others that did it, and there's been references to it. So, well, some, I forget what we were watching, they referenced the Wiz.
Hmm.
Do you know what that is?
No.
That's the upbeat 80s urban version of the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that sounds so terrible. The Wiz.
Oh, it was creative. It was no worse than any other 80s movies that were out.
Yeah, I could see that. So we've got the Batman, which is going to be looking like the Joker as the mask, Jim Carrey's mask. And then what we've been building up to here, there's a ton of these. Let's see if there's another one. Oh, no. Here's my second favorite one. The Bill and Ted Action Comics is probably my favorite, but this one.
Oh, that's fantastic.
DC Comics Green Lantern's got Hal Jordan dressed up like, what's his name?
Dave.
Yeah, I was trying to think of how Hal says it, the computer. Hal says, Dave, no Dave.
Sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
So we got Green Lantern as 2001, A Space Odyssey. This is my favorite. I might have to buy this. I want this poster. Actually, no, I just want the original poster.
My computer running DOS back in the day used to boot up and say things from the computer from Hal 9000.
This was another one of those classics that I didn't see till I was an adult, which I wouldn't have appreciated it as much.
You know, and this, I don't know if this may be a little shocking because, you know, me, but I wasn't that big into sci-fi movies and stories until after 2001. And the only reason I got into that was because I love Stanley Kubrick. Like, I fell in love with all of his movies, and that changed my entire perspective.
Right. Yeah, I love this movie. And when I saw it, I knew that I'd never see another movie like it, especially these days, because it's so slow and just lets it build. And then I saw Interstellar, and I realized that somebody was willing to be patient with their movie making, kind of like Stanley Kubrick was, and just hold really long shots instead of jump cuts.
See, we need a bucket podcast that doesn't, for everything, every discussion that doesn't fit our other podcast, we just have it over there. Because I want to have a whole discussion about Interstellar, Contact, and Signs, and all these, like, just different things.
Signs. Yeah, me too. And I better wrap this up. We're getting a little bit long on this one since it's an audio thing and I'm showing pictures here. Hopefully people can picture these in their mind if they haven't seen them yet. I'll definitely post the link to these pictures in the show notes. You know what? I better show you this one, though. I may cut this out, but I know you've talked about this one before, so.
Yes. Dude, I love Mars Attacks. This is the greatest.
Yeah. Justice League United is Mars Attacks. Check this one out.
Whoa, that's terrible.
Justice League is Magic Mike. I couldn't believe they went there.
I can't believe it either.
More McConaughey.
Oh, yep.
Ah, it's not working right.
McConaughey.
And, you know, I mentioned Action Comics was my favorite one. That's not my favorite one. This is my favorite one.
That's fantastic.
Superman Wonder Woman as Gone with the Wind.
Oh, man. Wonder Woman.
Which Clark Kent.
That was my first crush right there.
Wonder Woman? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Linda, what's her name?
Oh, man, I can't think of it.
Can't think of it. It's getting late.
I had a Wonder Woman sleeping bag every night.
Oh, no.
I was little.
So Clark Kent originally... That took the name from Clark Gable.
True story?
True story, yeah.
Wow.
Let's see.
I didn't know that.
And there's another actor. See, I can't remember his name. I was trying to tell Katie earlier today when I was showing her these. There's another famous movie star, 1930s leading cinematic guy. Kent Taylor was the other half of the name. Clark Gable and Kent Taylor.
Did not know that. That's so pretty awesome.
It's pretty neat. And he just looks so awesome. And, of course, she looks beautiful, just like Linda Carter. Why can't I think of her name, man?
Linda Carlisle?
This is terrible. I can't publish this, so I'll get hated off of the internet.
Linda, what is her name?
Linda Carter.
Linda Carter.
Gosh, that's terrible. Yeah, my probably very first crush, her and She-Ra.
She-Ra.
And what I've been showing all of you, what I've been doing, showing you all of these because they're awesome, but mainly to get to this one.
Oh my goodness.
Aquaman as the Free Willow poster.
Oh, I hate Aquaman so much.
Because we always have interesting conversations about Aquaman.
He is the worst. I have about the fame. I hated that movie too. Free Willy.
Right.
It was terrible.
I didn't mind it. It's my brothers watched it so much. I got sick of it. Okay, so that's going to wrap up our news section. Hopefully that wasn't too unlistenable.
That was very fitting for Aquaman.
That's what I thought. I was like, wow, they did not shy away from Aquaman. They just went ahead and did it. They should have had Michael Jackson playing in the background. Yeah, my top three for that, it's got to be Superman, Wonder Woman, Gone with the Wind, by far, with Green Lantern, 2001, A Space Odyssey, and then the Action Comics Bill and Ted was really cool.
That Bill and Ted one was fantastic.
There's a bunch more out there, like Enter the Dragon.
Good Lord.
What was, what's one that's on top of my tongue? Superfly was Superman.
Yeah, I gotta look these up, man. That sounds great.
All right, so question of the show. Last time I asked, what's been your favorite New 52 comic book so far and why? And as I mentioned, they did the hard reboot 2011 with all new issues, all new number one issues, even renumbered. You know, Action Comics had over 900 issues, and they renumbered it, did a volume two at number one, which some people thought was just crazy since it was so close to 1,000. But DC wanted to really act like they were rebooting it hard, so they went ahead and said, we're going to renumber it back to one. And that, I didn't get any responses back for anybody that said what their favorite was, but mine was Action Comics, the first 18 runs. They stick with me. That's the Grant Morrison run.
I've got a Grant Morrison question for you, too.
What is it?
This is because of my ignorance, I know, but was it intentional to make Lex Luthor look like Grant Morrison?
What do you mean?
I wish I could share my screen out right now. I've got two separate takes of Lex Luthor from the comics, and he looks a lot like Grant Morrison.
Oh man, I mean, yeah, Grant Morrison does look a lot like Lex Luthor, but he's been bald. He's been bald for a long time. Back when Grant Morrison had hair, Lex Luthor was bald.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I knew that he was in the past. I just these later images of Lex Luthor look like in the face look just like Grant Morrison. Cause I've seen some older Lex Luthor, and like they made him all muscular and big, and it's kind of stupid.
Lex Luthor he's a shape dude. I mean, he's the pinnacle of humanity in a lot of ways, in his eyes for sure. And then Superman comes along and messes everything up for him. At least that's how he sees it, I think.
Okay. I didn't know if there was something I just didn't know about. I saw it and I thought it. And I got to go back and read Grant Morrison's stuff.
Yeah, he does look like Superman. Now, Grant Morrison, he hasn't been shy about putting himself in comic books. I mean, I would love to talk about the first 18 issues of Action Comics with you. It's a great ride. Very timey-wimey. I mean, just mind-bending stuff that he does.
I enjoy it.
Some people don't like it. I mean, some people just hate it.
I could listen to that dude talk forever.
Yeah, he's out there for sure. He's entertaining. But yeah, back to his Action Comics run, there was just a lot of heart in there. And a lot of it I didn't realize as I was reading it. But it's there, especially towards the end. There's some really great scenes that stick with me, including the 4 or 5 page, kind of like the extra stories, I call them backup stories at the end of each issue, by a person named Shelly Fish, who like stories to complement the story going on in the main story. And those really had heart. Some of those bring tears to a bearded man's eyes.
Huh.
But
I like that.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Now, you're saying it made me feel human from time to time.
Right. you are the cyborg Redbeard.
Yeah.
I ought to do that. I ought to go on Reddit, have them make a cyborg Redbeard for you. And make me into the Eradicator version of Superman or something. That'd be cool. Okay, so what's the movie? Here's the question to the show for this time. We're at the beginning of a new year. It's January. What movie are you most looking forward to this year? It can be a comic book or whatever. But yeah, if you want to send that in to mickginger0@gmail.com, mickginger0@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And in the listener mail, tweets, and Facebook posts, we've got one from faithful listener, Mark Lax, who's been writing. I mean, Mark has written in like every show. I appreciate that, man. He says, "Hey, Mick, Happy New Year. About Superman 35, last issue. Well, the story is becoming a bit more complicated at this point." He mentions, "I've read through issue 37, which is the next issue. We haven't gotten there yet." And he says, "No spoilers." Thank you for that, Mark. But he will say after 6 issues, he's not really digging the art. It's not to the point that he'll stop reading, but I did expect better from John Romita Jr. As for the story, John's is delivering a lot of twists that keep me reading, but I'm hoping the next arc will focus more on Superman and his main supporting cast. If I have to rate issues 35, I think I'd give it a 3 out of 5. Things do get more exciting, and there's one or two twists that makes the first issues worth it. I'll say no more. But again, thanks for the great show, and I'm looking forward to Redbeard's guest spot. I think it will be fun to hear another opinion on this story. As always, your friend, Mark Lax. Hey, Happy New Year, Mark. I appreciate you writing in, and yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said. Hopefully, his art doesn't drop off too much in the next issue, but sorry to see you're not enjoying it. I think I'm in a weird boat where if I saw the art with never seeing this storyline, I might think, who is that drawing Superman? You know, maybe it's just, it doesn't look like it came out of a Superman comic. But at the same time, it's kind of growing on me. All right, in closing, let's talk about We're Alive. Unless you had anything else to talk about. Any closing bits on the...
No. I think I covered everything that okay. I was curious about.
Cool.
We're Alive! It's going to be a fun project.
Yes, so... Some of you that are listening, you may know that we've covered an action zombie audio drama called We're Alive on a podcast that we called the We're Alive Fancast. We started late in the series run by covering the 4th and final season. And that was a blitz recording that show, man. I mean, because it came out every week. I mean, every chapter was 3 weeks long. Or I should say every chapter was 3 parts. And they came out week after week after week with 1 week in between each chapter. So, I mean, it was a blitz. Listening to that same day, editing it, getting it out later that week, and then getting ready for the next issue or episode to come out. That was a lot of fun for sure. But this time out, we're going to be starting from the beginning. We're going to go back to chapter 1. So anybody that wants to listen along to We're Alive and then listen to a couple guys talk about it, I guess kind of break down what happens in that episode. And then I'm not sure exactly how the format's going to go, but...
Yeah, that's still in the works. We're just going to kind of highlight some things that, hey, this is important.
Right.
Remember this.
And I'm thinking maybe at the end we can do a spoiler section where it's like, okay, how does this fit into the 48 chapter story? Like, what did we get out of this that we should, that we didn't know was going to affect chapter 48? But it does, you know, that this stuff like that's going to be a lot of fun for people that have listened to the whole thing and are going back with us to listen to it. So yeah, we'll be doing that. I think the current plan is to do a chapter a month, and a chapter is three parts, with the exception of, I think, one like season finale, which was four parts. You can find this over at mickred.com. That's where our show will be. And of course, you can find We're Alive at we'realive.com or zombiepodcast.com. They both go to the same place. But I invite you to go and listen to that and catch up with it with us. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Well, Redbeard, thank you for coming on to Mix Comic Cast.
Oh, yes, man. That was a blast. I've been having a lot of fun with this series, too, so I'm looking forward to doing more.
Okay, yeah, you're welcome anytime. Where else can they find you?
Well, you can find me on mickred.com. You can also find me on Instructables. I like to nerd it out on occasion. I just posted up my cheap find at the resale shop. It was a SpongeBob Pelter cooler, you know, like those little beverage coolers.
Yeah.
It was missing like a power supply, so I took it apart, put on a new plug, and got it up and running. And for about $12, you know, and these things are kind of a rarity now, so it was kind of fun.
Well, that sounds pretty awesome. You'll have to show it to me for sure.
Yeah.
Well, next time on Nick's Comic Cast, New 52 Superman number 37, Taken to the Fourth Dimension. Woo-hoo. See you then. Which reminds me, I really hope you do read Grant Morrison's 18-issue run. There's like a great comic representation of a fifth-dimensional existence.
Really?
Yes, it's crazy.
You know, I thought that was the one part you thought.
Thanks for listening to Mix Super Comics Cast. If you would like to send feedback to the show, you can email me at nickginger0@gmail.com, and I'll read your mail on the show in the feedback section. You can find the show on Facebook, just search for Mix Comic Cast, or click the link in the show notes. Special thanks to Kevin MacLeod for allowing the show to use his song, Our Story Begins. This has been a MickRed Network production. Find this show and many others at MickRed.com.
So how does this thing work?
What thing?
How are we doing this? Tonight.
Skype-a-roni.
Yeah. How does this framed angle technology work?
I don't know. What did you mean? How did what work?
How are we going to do this tonight?
I basically took our old show notes and changed them around to fit a comic podcast. I don't think that works.
I was trying to get it to go full screen. And it did it.
Oh.
Look at him. I'm Superman.
I bleached my hair and grew it out now.
Oh, is this the episode you're doing?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you just got the new one and you were going to, like, we weren't even going to read it ahead of time. You were going to purchase it as we were about to begin.
Oh, no. Sorry.
I was like, oh, man, I'm nervous about this.
All right. We're going to read it together and talk about it.
Once upon a time.
We could totally do that as soon as we're done with this. Like, oh my gosh. See his pectoral muscles.
Oh man.
All right. You can't hear me on my lip smacks or anything right now, can you?
Sounds like you're trying to blow me kisses.
Really?
I'm just kidding. No, not really.
I was just like wetting my lips and I could hear it through because I have headphones on. I couldn't tell if it was the noise you can hear because your ears are attached to your head. those vibrations or if it was.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. Welcome to the.
You want to build a snowman?
That's funny. was playing Xbox yesterday with a guy named Olaf, and I said, hey, just so you know, you melt in the summertime. But... He's like, I've never seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
That's great.
Red leather, yellow leather, blah.
You know, I tried watching the second one. I told you that.
The second what?
Anchorman.
Oh, yeah. Your mother goes to school with giant panda bears. When he says dumb stuff like that. I need to look all those up. Okay.
In summer.
In summer. Close the door, please.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye. Goodness. See, that's great. New mic, I can turn away and cough, and you can still hear it, but I'm not coughing directly into it.
Yeah, it's not horrible.
Right, it's not awful. And I'm going to mute for a second, go get some more water. I'm getting dry. Having a lot of fun, by the way. This has been a great recording. It's going to be far the best show that I've had on this comic podcast.
It's been a lot of fun. I've been missing it.
Me too. Hey, you there?
Yes.
I don't think it doesn't.
You just mute yourself again? I can't hear you.
Sorry. Hey, I've got somebody. Come here, you little spy. Come here. I caught some spies.
Spies?
You know how I caught some spies?
How?
Because as I was standing up to get my water and leave, Chloe walks in to grab my water cup, and she's like, stay. You brought me some Pepsi?
With a... water in it. Just good.
Pepsi with water in it.
Yeah, it's like the comfort of water with Pepsi in it.
Did you add water to Pepsi?
No, I added water to Pepsi.
Let me see what this tastes like.
Can I taste it, Dad?
Interesting.
When people have their sodas watered down, they don't typically think that's a good thing.
Okay, why?
Because it's watered down.
Oh, I get it.
It's actually isn't that bad.
Yeah, mostly Pepsi.
Thank you. I appreciate you wanting to give me something. But.
And I was spying on you.
Yeah, that's fine. You can spy on me. Just be quiet.
Daddy, I implanted cameras in their eyeballs so we're watching you.
Oh, you are you?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now you see why I have to record after they're in bed.
Yes.
They can't be away from me too long, I guess. Close that door. I'll give you one of these.
The kids got home today, and because they've been gone for a couple weeks now.
The longest by far.
Sorry, that's my fault.
No. We had about 20 minutes of messing around before, and then my kids came in a few different times, which is fine. But yeah, editing has been super easy on this thing. I can knock it out in an afternoon.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, this one.
I don't know what that's like.
No, seriously. And then when I'm done, I have like a 30-minute show.
Oh, wow. That's
including
crazy.
Promos and credits and everything. But yeah, this will be probably hour 15. I'm interested to see how it does. I mean, yeah. I would personally, the way I listen to shows, I'd much rather hear this. Though that's some guys, I don't mind their solo shows. They do good work, but I'm not there yet.
Yeah, good, bad, or indifferent. I kind of want to know what the feedback is from it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll pass that along. And I asked those guys for the Earning My Ears promo, and they sent back a promo which was something else completely. They're covering that Crisis on Infinite Earths from 86, which I need to get and read at some point.
Yeah, you know, at some other point, too, I want to do a discussion about how ethical and optimistic Superman is versus some other superheroes.
Well, that's good.
But at the same time, doesn't mind demolishing a city.
No. He minded that. That I have to feel like that bothered him, even though we didn't get to see it. I think the next movie will address that better than the first one did.
Be like Superman on his off day, reflecting.
I think they're going to, they definitely have to, because that's one of the main things from the last one is just such widespread destruction, and you don't get to see him deal with it.
No, you only saw a glimpse of it, and I thought, because that dude killed somebody.
Right. It's like, what happened to there's always a way?
Not this time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on his side. I don't think there was a way, but... Yeah. Oh, this is funny. My buddy says, my New Year's resolution is not to write 2014 on anything that I sign. That's good.
Oh, man. So, I got my WordPress plugin out there in the wild. It's been published to WordPress. So
yeah.
People can download it.
How's it? You told me you got a couple downloads on it so far.
20 so far. So, it's a very niche market. But I wanted something just to kind of experiment with and kind of see how it goes.
Yeah.
So far, so good. No complaints. That much is good.
Oh, yeah. That is good. I'm interested to see how this sounds because I'm kind of not... I did have this mic in front of me, like pointed directly at me.